So friends, here again, Advent 3, and again, John the Baptist turns up again. He gets around this guy, doesn't he, really? But it's not unreasonable, I would have thought, for us as people who regularly walk through this season, to have a particular view and a particular picture of John the Baptist in your mind. Perhaps I'll give you some pointers. Scruffy, lived in the wilderness, hasn't had a shower in a while, wild hair and wild animal skins for clothes. It doesn't sound like your average churchgoer on a Sunday morning, does he? He eats a diet of locusts, wild honey. He's too busy. And we picture him yelling at people in a high volume, telling them to repent. And in that version we heard this morning, calling them snakes, but the better version is when he calls them a brood of vipers. Let's just say, I don't think this guy would get very far at a circuit invitations committee or chairing your local church council. But John stands in a long line of Hebrew prophets. We picture all of our prophets a bit like John, I think, out in the wilderness with a message so urgent that they don't have time or the patience to craft a gentle sermon which will encourage his hearers in order to bring everybody along with them. To be a prophet in the tradition that John was, you needed to be confident, and he needed to be willing to offend people for the sake of telling the truth. I wonder if we did a straw poll this morning. How many of us are willing to offend people for the sake of telling the truth? You don't need to put your hand up. You can answer that in your own hearts or around the dinner table. But that tradition is filled with righteous anger over the errant ways of God's people, how they mistreated one another and turned away from God. We see that coming out of that passage in the Gospel this morning. Throwing words at the crowds like repentance, wrath, and unquenchable fire. I've been preaching for now nearly 30 years. And I would say it's not a really good idea to call your congregation a brood of vipers. Because they wouldn't hear much after that, would you? Really? And I know that you've got your carol service being led by your superintendent tonight, so I have to be careful. But John's message is actually a beautiful one, really. But somehow, the people managed to hear. And we don't hear past that word, you snakes, you brood of vipers. Some do, and are filled with hope. This morning, I want to see if we can get past and look at that word, those words, the brood of vipers, or snakes. Because I think there's a chance that we've been missing the point for a number of years. Because on the face of it, it does sound like a fierce insult. By the time John is preaching in the wilderness, tensions have been building up in the city of Jerusalem, which will eventually lead to a revolt and a crushing victory for the Romans. And perhaps so, the people coming out to see John, as we see in that passage, sense a mounting danger. And are leaving their comfort and security of their lives in the city for a bit of refuge in the wilderness and the hope of the prophet's words. In the midst of the upheaval and insecurity, they asked John what to do. And his answer, I think, is quite tame for this fiery prophet. You don't have to have two coats or extra food. Give to those who don't have it. If you're a tax collector, don't take extra money for yourself. It's quite simple, really. And I suspect we all could subscribe to that in one way or another. John is basically in this passage saying, take care of one another in this time of change. Take care of one another in this time of change. Let go of what you don't need. Especially the stuff in your heart keeping away from God and your neighbour. John's message is a good word for us too. We know that as a society, as a world, as a church, as individual, there is great change around us. And sometimes we can just think that we can't do anything about it. Everything seems to be changing around us. We don't know what things will look like going forward. And friends, the church is no exception to that as well. Like those residents of Jerusalem who wandered into the wilderness to hear John in the first century, it's tempting to scatter and isolate and just take care of our own. But the ancient wisdom, I think, out of this passage still applies in our community. John reminds us and his congregation of the basic guidelines of being a disciple. Luke tells us that the people become filled with expectation. And of course, they even wonder if he's the Messiah, the one who will fill their hope. When John says next in the wilderness, it's one of the most important things of all. So the one coming is more powerful, who will baptize with the Holy Spirit and fire. Next week, for Sunday of Advent, we will reflect on Mary. And then on Christmas Day, the crib will be out. We'll focus on the birth of Jesus. And that's exciting. And that's joyful. But, friends, we are not there yet. Advent allows us to travel and go through a journey. Go for a journey where Jesus doesn't stay in the crib and is just brought out once a year for us to sing away in a manger. If we fast forward in that passage this morning to John the Baptist, he has been a bad luck. He finds himself in prison, not too long away from today's passage. Eventually, he gets his head chopped off. Before that, he heard rumours about Jesus and wonders if Jesus is the one to bring out that Isaiah's vision. Jesus sends messengers to report back to John what they see and what they hear. Not just a hopeful idea, but of the reality of Christ becoming flesh. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf to hear, the dead are raised, the poor have good news brought to them. That presence in the world has caused Isaiah's vision to come alive. And when John preaches, it is the essence of Advent. Christ, who is the embodiment of everything, of Isaiah and John, and all the prophets of old that hoped for coming into the world. Friends, in this time of journeying in Advent, we are invited to throw our faith into the miracle of God becoming flesh to heal our world. For us today, as we travel with the prophets and Mary next week, Advent is a season when Christians are called to live with more hope than the world thinks is reasonable. As we journey together with the community of God who has placed us where we are today, we also journey with John and Mary and the other prophets. All who stand in a long line of faithful people, to those who have dreamt of the day when God will heal the world. We may still be waiting this Advent, and we might be tempted to scatter in the face of uncertainty that we all face. John reminds us to stay together. These are concrete signs of the world's redemption in life and death and resurrection of Christ. And as we come in a moment to share around the table of grace, we come in the knowledge of the journey that we travel together, that God is with us. Emmanuel. Amen.